If you got your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to open Ephesians chapter 4. You can put your finger there, and then Luke chapter 6 is where we'll also end up. Luke chapter 6 and Ephesians 4 is the first one. Now, we're closing out this series on relationships today, and for the last many weeks, we've been talking about relationships. We talked about marriage. We talked about parenting. We talked about friends. We talked about work relationships. But I don't know that I've ever been asked about a series more than this one, that people right off the bat, soon it was, they saw it on the screen, that people came up to me and started asking me, hey, when are you going to start talking? When will you talk about difficult people? I need to know what's going on in your life. I mean, every single Sunday, somebody came up to me and said, hey, when will the difficult people sermon be? I was like, well, who are you talking about? So, all right, for all of you, and I think we all have difficult people in our life, you know, they say death and taxes are the only things that are certain in life. I'm going death, taxes, and difficult people. And so go ahead right now, if you got message notes or you make notes, go ahead and write their name down. We don't want to point at anybody. I want you to have somebody in mind. If you need to flip your card over and write them on the backside too, if you got a long list. But the reality is we all know people. There are people in our life that we feel like they think it is their calling to annoy us. And as you look at them, you think their spiritual gift is to be difficult. Now, some of you are going, can we talk about this in church? Absolutely. Because here's the great thing, is that Scripture has a lot to say about difficult people. Now, if you're sitting here going, I don't know any difficult people, it has a lot to say about lying, too. But it has a lot to say about difficult people. The reality, we don't have to look any further than the life of Jesus, if you just follow Jesus through Scripture, is that he had a lot of difficult people in his life. In Mark chapter 3, we read this. It simply says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Let me give you a little context. Jesus has done some miracles. There are people who are enamored with what he's doing and what he's saying. Everywhere he goes, there's this huge crowd. So he's at this house, and all these people are gathered around. Verse 21 says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. So those of you who've got family members that think you're crazy, you know, that in-law, or you're thinking, next time they look at you and go, hey, I just don't know if you got it all together, and you just say, just like Jesus. Because Jesus had family members that are going, man, I don't get you. Matter of fact, not only do I not get you, I think something's wrong with you. You got anybody like that in your life? Did you marry into that family? Were you born into it? No pointing. Just acknowledge that. It goes on from there. Not only family, it says, and then the teachers of the law, all the religious people, because there are no difficult people in this room, I know. And what you have to think about, I wonder if anybody wrote your name down when they're writing those names down. It says, and the don't point. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. So his family thinks he's crazy. And the religious people think he's possessed. You got any difficult people in your life? Jesus goes, I understand that. But it's not whether or not we have difficult people, it's how we're going to respond to those difficult people. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Jesus responded this way. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, the reality is that we love to talk about difficult people because we all have those people in our life. But before we get to those difficult people, what I want you to do is just look at yourself. Don't ask yourself today, am I one of those difficult people? But here's what I want you to do as you think about the difficult people in your life. Because if you put somebody's name down, there's probably they said something, they did something, they insinuated something. But here's the thing I would challenge you to do, is overlook some things. Overlook some things. Overlook the slight. Overlook the insult. Overlook the disrespect. Overlook the, did you hear the way they talked to me? I've told you before, and not everybody agrees, but I think we've become a very sensitive society. We're offended by everybody. And you have to ask yourself, as a follower of Jesus Christ, why you're so easily offended. You say, Jeff, is that biblical? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says this. It says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent, the wise, overlook an insult. Proverbs 19 puts it this way. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is the one's glory to overlook an offense. And so one of the things that Scripture teaches us before we ever get to these difficult people in our life is just to kind of look at ourselves and go, you know, am I just too sensitive? Do I need to overlook some things? Are there some things, some insults? Now, you can't, listen, we talked about friends. There are people you don't need in your life. But the reality is you go to work and you're in family life and you're in relationship and you come to church, there are people who say things, who do things, insinuate things. They're disrespectful. They're rude. So how are you going to respond to that? Because they're not going to change. And that's one of the parts of it. You know, we've remodeled some of the office area to create some different spaces. And so we had to pack everything up and then try to find it later. And so I was going through all my files and stuff, and I have a file where I keep all the rude and ugly emails that people send me. And all the things that people mail out and things like that about me and stuff. So I always get copies of it. And I put it in that file. So I've been doing this for over 30 years, and so the file is large. And so I'm going through this file the other day, and one of my favorite stories, a guy came up to me one day. I was pastoring a church. It wasn't here, so you don't have to try to figure out who it is. I got plenty for here. But anyway, so he walks in my office, and he says, you know what? I thought, we've had a breakthrough. He walks in my office, and says, you know what the happiest day of my life will be? I was thinking, oh, this is great. We're going to have a moment here. He says, the happiest day of my life will be when I pack your stuff up on a moving van and you leave. Well, bless your heart. So I got that letter in there too. He told me in person, but then I got the letter too. But you know, here's the thing about it. You say, Jeff, why do you keep that? Are you festering over it? No, there's going to be a book one day. I got to have the notes. But the title of the folder, you know what I call it? Good Stuff. Good stuff. Because I look in there pretty often. I add to it, unfortunately, too often. So the things that people say about you and to you, you have to remind yourself, are there some things I need to overlook? And just that, this good stuff, God's going to use that to change me. I don't know what he's going to do to them. So good stuff. So what do you do with these difficult people? What's the process? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, gives us the attitude that we have to deal with these difficult people. Whether it's a family member or whoever it might be, this is the attitude that you have to have. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, he says, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He's talking to saved people. So if you don't know Jesus, he's like, you just got to figure out difficult people on your own. He says, verse 2, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're going to look at two phases of dealing with difficult people, the attitude that we have to have and then the actions we're going to take toward them. The attitude he says that we are to have, he says you are to be what? Completely humble. So one of the things he says, if you're going to deal with difficult people the way God wants you to, he says you got to have humility. Humility is having an accurate view of yourself as God sees you. It's not looking too high of yourself. You realize as a follower of Jesus Christ that you are forgiven, you are saved, you're gifted, you're called, you're commissioned, you're valuable, but guess what? Humility says, I'm not thinking about all that all the time. It's not thinking too high, but it's also not thinking too low. There's a lot of people that walk around and they talk about, well, I'm just this and I'm just scum of the earth, and they try to act very humble. That's very arrogant to say all those things. Humility is not to think too high of yourself. It doesn't mean that you think low of yourself. Humility, listen, is not thinking of yourself at all. It's that old phrase, it's not about you. And so if we go into relationships that realize, hey, this is not about me. I know who I am in Christ. I know what he's called me to be. I don't have to glorify myself because of my standing, because the only reason I have that is through Jesus Christ. Then when somebody says something, it's not about me, then I don't have to get offended all the time. He says that you are to be completely humble. You are to have humility. He also says you are to be gentle. The word gentleness or gentle means power under control. You know, when somebody wrongs us, when somebody does something, you know, one of the things we want to do is like, I'm going to show you. And sometimes we have the ability to take that person down verbally or emotionally or mentally. Everybody that Jesus dealt with, he had the power to take them down in whatever way he wanted to take them down. But gentleness means, listen, it's power under control. I'm going to use the power not to respond to you to show you what a fool you are. I'm going to use the power that I have to love you like Jesus did. Power under control. He says you ought to be completely humble. You ought to be gentle. He says you ought to be patient. The word patient is a great word in the Bible. It means to have a long fuse. It means to take a long time for you to heat up before you blow up. You ever been around anybody? It's like, well, he got a short fuse. He says, listen, if you're going to deal with difficult people God's way, you better have a long fuse. You better take a long time to heat up. Are you one of those people that goes from 0 to 60 emotionally in about 2 seconds? I don't know if you guys did this as kids, and I'm not recommending you kids do this. So parents, you don't have to email me and tell me I can't believe you used that example. But when we were kids, we used to throw bottle rockets. You know, you're supposed to put them in something, light them, and they shoot off, but it was a whole lot more important to hold them and light them, and just as they got to where they were going to take, you threw them, and so they would take off at just the right time. This is what your kids are doing outside while you people are drinking coffee. It's not my fault. It's my older cousin's fault. But anyway, but every once in a while, have any of you, and you can't raise your hand because you got kids, never mind. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I can tell by the way you're looking at me. But every once in a while, what would you do? You'd light one and you'd be going. But every once in a while, you'd light one and go. And you knew you had a problem. That's when you went to dancing. You're like, get this thing away from me. And it's on the ground and you don't know where it's going to go. What he's saying is, don't be a short fuse and blow up. Be a long fuse. Be patient with that person that you just wrote their name down mentally in your mind. He also goes on, he says, listen, you're humble, you're gentle, you're patient. He says, and you're bearing with one another. It literally means to hold yourself back. Here's what I like. One of the definitions of this phrase means to put up with. Is there anybody in your life you're like, man, I'm just tired of putting up with them? And Jesus goes, exactly. He says, if you're going to deal with difficult people, you got to put up with that person. You have to endure in that person's life, with that person, that thing that irritates you. Right now, I'll be honest with you, I've studied this all week, and there are times I thought, kind of like what you're thinking right now, going, well, I wish we'd just skip this one. So he simply says that if you're going to respond the way Jesus wants you to respond, he says you're going to have some humility. Matter of fact, he says be complete in humility. You're going to have to be gentle. You're going to have to be under control. You can't blow up. You're going to have a long fuse before you heat up. And all those things will make it possible for you to bear with one another, to put up with that person. So what do you do? Now you got this attitude, but guess what? You got to go to work with them tomorrow. You got to go home with them this afternoon. You got to go see them tonight. You came to church with them today. So what do you do with this humility and gentleness and patience, and I'm putting up with them? Well, in Luke chapter 6, got your Bibles, just flip over there to Luke chapter 6, because Jesus has something to say about difficult people, and boy, did he know about difficult people. You know, I always talk about how God calls us to be different, not weird. Put this at the top of your list of being different. Luke chapter 6, think about that difficult person. You got them in your mind? Good. He says, but to you who are listening, he's talking to his followers, I say, are you ready for this? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. To which we all go, really? Skip down to verse 32. He says, the reason you would want to do this, because you're my followers and you've been called to be different. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? You're not different. Even the sinners love those who love them. And he says, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He says, you're not different. And so what Jesus simply says, when you have this attitude of humility and gentleness and patience and you're enduring with people, he says, here's how I want you to respond to them this afternoon, tomorrow morning at work. He says, first of all, is I want you to love them. That's obvious. What's that look like? One of the things we do with difficult people is what? Ignore them. How many people are you giving a cold shoulder to right now? If you want to love somebody, the challenge for you today for that difficult person is to move toward them. So when you see them on aisle 3 of Publix today, go down the aisle and pray for a divine appointment. That's part of loving. You can't love people while you ignore people. Aren't we thankful that Jesus didn't ignore us? It says that Christ came and died for us while we were still what? Yet sinners. It says in verse 10 of Romans chapter 5 that we were his enemies. And so he looks at us and he says, listen, that difficult person in your life, I'm going to need you to move toward that person, not ignore them. He says, I want you to do good to them. Now, this is against the grain, right? Because I've been plotting what to do to them. He has the idea of unexpected acts of kindness, unexpected acts of acceptance. You say, what does that look like, Jeff? What I would challenge that difficult person that, you know, y'all kind of got a little thing going on, you're very formal, but everybody knows that when y'all are in the room, it's just tense. I tell you what, write them a note this week. Buy them a book. It's one of your favorite books. Don't buy them a self-help book. Don't buy them one of those Life for Dummies books. You know, there you go. I'm not talking about that kind of book. Buy a book on whatever. Maybe one of your sayings. I've read this book. Man, it meant a lot to me. I thought you might like it. What are you doing? You're moving toward them through an act of kindness. You say, I still got a bad attitude. Sometimes you got to act it out before your attitude follows. And Jesus says, love them, do good to them. Then he says, bless them. See, in our mind, I don't know about y'all, but when I have to deal with difficulty, I'm thinking about how I'm going to bless them out. Somebody should have said amen right there. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, one person being honest today. He said, leave the out part, just bless them. What do we do when somebody hurts us? What do we do when somebody insults us or slights us or disrespects us? What do? We replay it. Let me tell you what he said to me. Let me tell you what they did. And we replay it, and we replay it. And he says, talk about them, but bless them. Speak something good over their life. We've become, as we talked about last week, a world that dishonors other people. I mean, the things that we say to people and the things that we say about people online and social media, the way we comment about people who disagree with us, I don't just disagree with you, I want to destroy you, I want to cancel you. He says, no, just the opposite. Bless them. Don't replay it. Don't run down anyone. It's easy to just kind of get in a group and start running down. Let me tell you what they did, and let me tell you what kind of person they are, and they're the sorriest person on the planet. He said, bless them. And then he says this. You got to be kidding me. I want you to pray for them. Now, what did you think when you read that? Can I tell you what I thought? said out loud, "Well, I'm praying for them. I'm praying their car don't start today. I'm praying they get hemorrhoids." I don't know what you're praying, but listen, I'm serious when I pray. And all you're going, "Well, my Lord, Jesus knows." You might as well be honest. He says, pray for them. Because part of you say, "Jeff, I would never pray that their car wouldn't start, and I would never pray for that other thing you prayed for." No, you pray very spiritual prayers. "God, I hope that you'll bring something into their life to change their path, to recognize their wrongdoing." You know what you're saying? "God, sick them. Get them, God." That's what you're praying. You're being very spiritual about it. "Lord, I know that you can use all things for your glory and they're good. Use something very difficult." Have you thought about shingles? See, we read that and we just blow it off. You know why? We don't even pray. We're not even praying for the people we like. Think about it. How often are we really praying for the people that we love? Sometimes, "Man, I meant to pray for you. I forgot to pray for you." We wouldn't say that to them, but that's what we're thinking. And then God sends this word to us, and he simply says, "I want you to pray for the people who are difficult in your life." What? And then you understand he's called us to be different. Now, I can tell by the look on your face, some of you are going, "You got to be kidding me. Maybe we're misunderstanding all this. Maybe we don't really understand. Maybe we got the attitude wrong and the actions and really how we're supposed to apply this." But here's what I love about Scripture, because I think God knew that we were probably going to go, "Well, that's probably not what that meant." And then he puts this down, verse 31. So you're trying to figure out that difficult person. You're going, "Now, what am I supposed to pray for them about? And how do you bless that person? And how do I do good to them? And how do I move toward them? I don't understand." Boy, I wish I understood. If I understood it, I would do it. But that's just, I don't think what I'm reading is really what God meant. And so for everybody who would ever say, "Well, I just don't understand," then he puts it, I'm just going to leave it there. "Do to others as you would have them do to you." When you see that person today in Publix, you do to them and greet them the way you wish they would greet you. You talk about that person privately behind their back the way you wish people would talk about you. You pray for them today like you wish people would pray for you. You encourage them this week like you wish somebody would encourage you. That takes all the misunderstanding out of it, doesn't it? You make that person feel like they were just the person you were looking for, like that person you love to bump into, because they always make you feel like you were just the person they were looking for. So, you got your list? The only issue today is not whether you have a list or not. The only issue today is what attitude you're going to approach that person with and what actions you will take. And you can be certain, now that we have thrown it out there, that God's going to give you the opportunity to do it this week. That seems like that's just the way he operates. So, in dealing with difficult people, be different. Do it God's way and see what happens.